Dale, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us online Dr. David Black. And, well, we're going to be talking about what's happening to America spiritually. And perhaps to understand better what's happening to America spiritually, we should go back in time. Back to the 1930s in Hitler's Germany, where the Protestant Church and to some extent the Catholic Church backed the government. It seemed that nothing that the government could do was wrong, and the Christians of Hitler's Germany, of course, were in full support of the regime of the Third Reich. And what was their idea? Well, they wanted to create a new order. I don't know how many of you remember that a wonderful movie, The Sound of Music, when Captain Von Trapp is putting on this ball at his home, beautiful home, and of course the Nazi comes and says, you know, Captain Von Trapp, I know you want to support the new order. And of course that's exactly what is going on today. We're establishing a new order in the world today. America is going to bring democracy to the whole world and freedom and overthrow all the corrupt regimes. And of course, many of these we've been backing for years. Everybody doesn't seem to matter that. Everybody's forgotten. We backed Saddam Hussein all during the 1980s. In fact, there's a great deal of evidence from books written many years ago that Saddam had worked for the CIA, and an awful lot of people over in Iraq believed he worked for the CIA right up until the time of the most recent attack. That would be covered in a book entitled See No Evil by Robert Baer, who was a CIA agent in Kurdistan in 1995, who said he'd never met an Iraqi who didn't believe the United States was keeping Saddam Hussein in power, and many of them believed he worked for the CIA. Whether he did or not is immaterial. The blind obedience behind government is so similar to what happened in Hitler's Germany. So with that as the background, Dr. David Black has been our guest before. I'm going to let Dr. Black tell you a little bit about his background. He teaches, what do you teach, Dr. Black?
I teach ancient Greek.
Ancient Greek. That's all right. I think that maybe sometimes people who teach ancient Greek may have a lot more understanding of what's going on today than people who are working in Washington, D.C. Please pick up the story from where I left off.
Well, the story of the Third Reich has always fascinated me, and not least because I have lived in Europe, traveled a great deal in Germany, and lived for a couple of years in Switzerland as a student when I was in Basel, Switzerland. And I've also lectured in a German seminary, and I've had the privilege of preaching many times in the German language, and so I have followed the careers of many German theologians through the years. I'd like to quote one of them, if I could, to begin the program, Stan. This particular theologian's name is Karl Barth. I'm not a big fan of Karl Barth, but here's something he said that I fully agree with. He said, Jesus would have been an enemy of the state if he had not dared to call King Herod a fox. If the state has perverted its God-given authority, it cannot be honored better than by this criticism, which is due it in all circumstances. And the signatories of the Barman Declaration, which is a declaration that was issued by the Confessing Church in Germany in 1934, clearly felt that they were living in a time when the true church could no longer affirm both Christ and Hitler. And in effect, they had to make a decision. And that's what they did when they issued a very courageous declaration. Many of them paid...
Hold that stuff right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. David Black, who teaches ancient Greek. Right now, we're talking about the Barman Declaration and the courageous position that was taken by a small part of the Christian Church in opposition to what the state was doing, what the Nazis were doing as they moved towards their idea, their concept of the New World Order. Go ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, I'd also like to pick up on something you said in your opening remarks, if I could, Stan, about the sound of music. In fact, at my website, I have an essay entitled The Sound of Music, the Swastika, and Human Freedom. I had seen the stage play Sound of Music last year, and actually it was very interesting. Even the Von Trapp's actual grandchildren were stars in this particular stage play. But I'll never forget, during one scene, a huge swastika, a flag was unfurled on stage. And as I looked at that particular symbol of Nazi tyranny and of totalitarianism, I could not help but be reminded of the fight, Stan, we are in today in our own country against despotism, and how important it is for all freedom-loving Americans to say no to tyranny and yes to freedom, and particularly, as I've argued constantly, say yes to the U.S. Constitution, which is the law of the land. And we need to stop being like those Max Detweilers of the world, who live by expediency and compromise instead of by principle and honor. So this is what a small group of confessing Germans attempted to do during 1934. Their attempt was very unsuccessful. Many of them were persecuted. Many of them died. And the confessing church basically was a failure. The great majority of German Christians acknowledged Hitler rather than Christ as their leader, their Führer. And by the way, Hitler's use of the term Führer was intentional, since everybody in Germany knew that that would have also been in a title that could have easily been applied to Christ. So I think what's happening in our country today is it's very close to where government has become a god and demands to be worshipped as such. And when that begins to happen, our response must be to say no. Just as the German Christians did, just as Barth did and Bonhoeffer did and Niemöller did and the others did in Nazi Germany.
And yet today we see in the Christian movement, the Christian leaders of today are almost blind in their support for the current administration, because of course it professes to be Christian. But then, of course, many people in Hitler's Germany believed that the Nazi regime was a Christian regime without realizing it had its origins in the occult. And I think it's so interesting about the swastika. You know, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment, but I think the swastika is almost the key to what's going on in the world today. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, Dr. David Black, who teaches classical Greek, but he also has a great concern about what's happening to our country. He has written a book of Why I Don't Listen to Rush Anymore, and if you go to his website, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, why you'll find a great deal of information there. But really what is so interesting about the Nazis is they had an emblem. It was a swastika. Where did the swastika come from? It came from the occult. It was an emblem of the occult. If you were to read the book entitled Secrets of the Tomb by Alexandra Robbins, it's a book we carry, written by a woman who belonged to one of the secret societies in Yale, but wrote about the Skull and Bone Society. She's talked to people who had been into the tomb, actually doing cleaning, people who had gone into the tomb to do redecorating. And what was the predominant emblem they had there? The swastika. Now, why would an organization that boasts presidents as their member, certainly George W. Bush, his father, George Herbert W. Bush, his grandfather, Prescott Bush, were all members of Skull and Bones, that, of course, has the swastika all over the meeting place. But don't feel bad if you voted for George Bush, because John Kerry came from the Skull and Bones, and he, too, pays homage to the secret society that is decorated inside with a swastika. And, of course, the swastika is the sign of the occult. It's the sign of the sun god. And if you go back in mythology, you'll understand that really what's going on today, there are all sorts of secret societies aiming at creating a world government that Christians should certainly be opposed, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. These people who talk about America, talk about Constitution, talk about their dedication to God, but Why would they belong to secret societies that are so secret they can't speak of? Where is their true allegiance? Why don't they simply renounce their relationship to an organization that displays the swastika and other Nazi memorabilia? Because this is what Alexander Robbins' book talks about. Anybody would like to get that? Why we have carry the book Secrets of the Tomb. We have a 4-tape set on Skull and Bones. We even have their membership list from the Skull and Bones going back through the early 80s, the 1830s, 1832. You'll not see the complete membership list put out by Skull and Bones any other place. But pick up the story there, Dr. Black.
Well, there was another German scholar. I'm sure you know the name Martin Niemöller.
Right.
And during this period, Martin Niemöller published a book. It was entitled Christus ist mein Führer, Christ is my leader. And as I mentioned before, the use of that term, Führer, was packed with emotive power because everybody in Germany referred to Hitler by that title. For Niemöller, when he published this book, he made this statement, Christ, and Christ alone is my Führer. He is my leader. And the title of the book implied its negation. What he meant was Hitler is not my leader. And by the way, for stating that, Niemöller spent 7 years in Dachau. Now, I think there are indications in our own country that we may be on our way to a similar situation, a totalitarian-like society. And in my view, Stan, this concerns mainly our doctrine of national security, and by that I mean primarily the fact that we are engaged in the military occupation of Iraq. Our president insists that the necessity of war against that sovereign nation was based on a real imminent threat against the U.S., despite compelling evidence to the contrary. We are told that in the interest of national security, we must be willing to sacrifice our personal freedoms in the name of the Patriot Act and other measures that reduce the Bill of Rights to a worthless piece of paper. In the name of security, we are told that a government must not let its people know too much, or they will be in danger of losing their influence in the world. And I think that when our government begins to say, in effect, we are above the law, we are not accountable to a world body or even to our own government or even to our own constitution, we don't need to tell people what we are doing, and we will accuse those who challenge us of making us weak, I think then a new Barman Declaration may well be necessitated in our own country.
And I agree with you totally. You know, what really bothers me, there's been a great deal that's come out about the policy, the open, supported policy of torture of our people we capture going in and into other countries. This last Sunday on CBS, the 60-minute program actually talked to the man who established a program to kidnap people in other countries, take them to airports where they were met by masked men, Americans wearing masks. They were flown all over the world by planes in the CIA's own Air Force. The CIA has all sorts of an Air Force of its own, taking them into foreign countries where they would be tortured. And this ex-CIA agent, those of you who saw the program, if you didn't, you ought to buy the video and watch it, as he sort of smirks and talk about the torture, and, well, it's all right to torture those people. I am here to protect Americans. Well, you know, one time America had the high road. America espoused, you know, virtue and trustworthy and honestness. And we hear the president saying, why, we would never authorize torture. Why doesn't he fire the people then who are doing it? You heard the fellow on 60 Minutes admitting that we're sending people to other countries to be tortured and even smirks about it. You know, fat, pudgy face, you know, smirking about inflicting horrible pain on other human beings. If we expect to lead the world, why, we should set an example. We ought to be giving these people the Bibles. We ought to be preaching Christianity to them, trying to win them to our side, instead of it, as we do at Guantanamo, where, of course, they're kept in isolation to drive them mad. You put people in isolation for years. You cut off sensory deprivation. You blindfold them, put blinders on them, put earmuffs on them so they can't hear. And then, of course, occasionally we take them off and let them give them a Quran so they can practice their religion. Why don't we give them a Bible and treat them kindly and win them to our cause instead of doing everything we can to antagonize them and antagonizing the entire Islamic world? But when a country resorts to torturing people, whether they're guilty or not, and many of these people aren't guilty, how do we separate ourselves from the philosophy of the Nazis? And I don't think we can. But what bothers me most, Dr. Black, is where is the outcry from the Christian church today?
Well, and as I try to point out in my book, Why I Stopped Listening to Rush, republicanism in America is being destroyed, but it is being destroyed by conservatives, not by liberals. And where are those conservative congressional lawbreakers who will stand up against this? And don't we care? Doesn't anybody care that our government, as you pointed out, is beginning to rain tyranny down on its people? And when a government begins to act in such a way, in such a totalitarian way, and try to elicit unquestioning and docile loyalty from an unthinking populace, then government, in my view, Stan, has become a god. And when that begins to happen, our response must be to say, as the earliest Christians said, when they say Jesus is Lord, they could not say Caesar is Lord, they could only say Jesus is Lord. We, too, must say yes to the one word of God, whom we are obligated to trust and obey in life and death. And that of necessity implies saying no to any other one who would try to be God in our life, including civil government.
And you know what really is so tragic? There were so few ministers in Hitler's Germany who had the courage to speak out. I mean, we think of Niemöller, we think of Bonhoeffer, and I'm sure that there were others, that maybe 10% of the ministers had the courage to speak out. But 90% of the Protestant ministers went right along with it. If you ever really read what Niemöller said, you know, first they came for the communists, and I wasn't a communist. They came for the Jews, I wasn't a Jew. They came for the members of the trade unions, and then they came for the Catholics. And I wasn't a Catholic. I was a Protestant, so I wasn't concerned. It would appear that perhaps even many of the Catholics had more courage standing up against the tyranny of Adolf Hitler than the Protestants. Have you ever thought of that?
I sure have, but I'm so glad to say that there is in our country today a very small but vocal group of Americans that are calling for a restoration of a republic founded on the ideals of the old Constitution. Like you, they believe the Founding Fathers designed our government in the form of a constitutionally limited republic with minimum government control or influence into our lives. And they believe that government at all levels was originally intended to be controlled by the people. These people are often called paleoconservatives, and they're often accused of being isolationists. But we're not isolationists. The word isolationist is a pejorative term that is being bandied about to describe anyone who does not favor using America's power and blood for their particular cause.
And, of course, what most people don't understand is we have American troops permanently stationed in between 120 and 140 nations throughout the world today. Why are they there? Why are our troops in Japan, 65 years after the war ended, and in Germany and in South Korea? Why do we have troops stationed in all these countries? Because there are those within our government who have a different worldview. They want a world empire. They want the New World Order, just as the Nazis did. But people don't understand that these people work in secret little organizations. Their goal is globalism, the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation. But the media is never going to tell the American people about this part of what's going on today. People in other countries understand this. The American people have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And when the 13 colonies came together in 1787 to create the federal government, they did so as their agent, not the other way around. And I think it's going to take some brave Americans today to send that message to Congress, and some unconventional methods, I think, like saying no to the federal Leviathan that feeds off of both of the major political parties today. So I'm not necessarily an anti-conservative, but I do see the bankruptcy of conservatism in the age in which we live.
Well, I agree with you totally. And of course, you wrote a book, Why I Don't Listen to Rush Anymore. What basically does Rush Limbaugh have to do with what's going on today?
Well, I do mention the name Rush Limbaugh, but really the book has nothing to do with Rush. I mention him only because he's the leading spokesman of the Republican Party, right or wrong, mentality.
And of course, when the Republican Party is right, I support it. But when the Republican Party is wrong, we've got to stand against it. And the Democrats ought to have the courage to stand against the Democrat Party on the things they're wrong on. The trouble is that so often both the Democrat and Republican parties are wrong on exactly the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be back here in just a moment. Our guest is Dr. David Black. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, a comment, maybe you disagree. Maybe you think that we really need to be in the war, and torture's all right because, after all, the Islamic people torture people and they cut off their heads. Maybe we're justified in torturing people. Or do you think maybe we've lost our vision, we've lost our first love? Are we really a Christian nation, or is it simply a pragmatic approach to defeating the enemy? Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest is Dr. David Black. We're talking about what's happening to our society. And traditionally, I've always been a conservative. I've been a Republican all of my life. And, you know, I espouse these ideas. I mean, once I grew up out of the socialist programming that I went through in college, I believed in the free enterprise system. The trouble is, the Republican Party isn't espousing the free enterprise system. Their drug bill certainly is not free enterprise. They're certainly passing special legislation to protect the drug companies. That isn't free enterprise. That, of course, is really a favoritism. It's certainly patronizing the people who are paying the politicians and bribing the politicians. I mean, I believe in competition. I believe in the rule of law. But, of course, when you begin taking cases out of state courts so you can put them in federal courts so you can tie them up so you can't sue the drug companies who are harming our people as they did with Vioxx, knowing full well that the incidents, the studies showed that 1999, this is Dr. David Graham's testimony before the Senate, of course, the media never told you what he said that in 1999, the studies on Vioxx showed that low-dose Vioxx increased the incidence of heart attack sevenfold. And they went right ahead and they put it on the market, and his estimates are somewhere between 80 and 100,000 people have died. Certainly an awful lot of people have died. They knew what they were doing. They did it intentionally. But you don't have to worry why the Republicans have given the Merck company a free pass, and they're going to go back on the market, and people are going to continue dying unnecessarily. How can you justify that in a moral society?
Right, and when Bush came into office, he came into office, as you know, an advocate of leaner government, and then proceeded to enlarge it by creating a gigantic new cabinet department. And he's increased federal spending on a per capita basis more than any other modern president. So when he was running for office, it was the light that we heard candidate Bush speak of a humble foreign policy. He spoke of reducing U.S. forces overseas. We anticipated the new administration would embrace conservative philosophies, conservative objectives such as tax cuts and smaller government, fiscal responsibility. And the fact of the matter is none of this has happened. And today, the fundamental beliefs of our founding fathers are being subverted as never before in the name of an all-powerful state. And our precious freedoms, God-given freedoms, I might add, are being stripped away one freedom at a time. So I simply would ask your listeners, when you look at the political and the media and the educational establishments of our country that are now controlled by people who think nothing of the U.S. Constitution, when statism on the right is now indistinguishable from statism on the left, these are times in life, I think, when anybody with a shred of principle should be profoundly angry.
I agree with you totally. And the idea, of course, you can increase spending and cut taxes, and they say, well, of course, we're going to make up the money because we're going to have more money coming in because, if we cut taxes, the income of government comes in. That's fine, and I believe in that, but you've got to cut spending. And what we're doing is massively expanding the power of government, and so much of this is going into the Office of Homeland Security, whose major purpose is not to fight terrorism, because we're not trying to find Osama bin Laden. You mean to tell me when you can read a wristwatch from outer space with satellites, they can't find a 6-foot-6-inch Arab who towers over everybody else? They can see in the night, they can see in the day. You mean he never comes out of his cave? I don't believe that for one minute. They know exactly where he is. But if we didn't have Osama bin Laden, how would we justify continuation of the war on terrorism? When we get back, we will invite your calls from out across America, here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Dr. David Black. And, of course, David, why don't you give your website out there so people would know how they can get your website, how they can get your book, Why I Quit Listening or Stop Listening to Rush.
Yes, the website is very simple, daveblackonline.com. And if you go to the home page and just click on the cover of the book, Why I Stop Listening to Rush, it'll take you to the publisher's information.
And so Dave Black online. We've got Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, do you have a question?
Just a comment. I do hope you'll have Dr. Black again frequently, because, you know, it's like virtually nowhere is the depths of this neoconage more than barely scratched. And so not only for the excellence of his comments, which I very much appreciated earlier, but as a focal point for the topic, which, you know, even you have occasional whiffs, even from the likes of George Will when he addresses Richard Pearl with, well, you are a card-carrying neocon, I believe, so your opinion would be that, blah, 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 blah. And yet, you bring this up in other quarters, and, well, this term neocon is invented by liberals as a catchword or something.
No, not. It was actually initiated by the people such as, well, you go back to Irving Kristol. He was one of the first of the neocons, and he and Podorotz, Norman Podorotz, and a number of these people, of course, they're old-line Marxists, and now they're leading the conservative movement. No wonder we're in trouble. Thanks very much, Roger. Now, how would you respond to Roger's remarks about why would the Christians of this country be supporting an administration that is really more or less controlled by the neocons, who are old-line Marxists? In fact, the policies that we're following, a massive government control of education, a massive funding of a free drugs for everybody, this is plain old socialized medicine. It's going to bankrupt the system. The only solution that we have today to the massive deficits we're going to have, and I don't care what they say about, oh, we're going to get these paid down in a few years. They also said that the drug program was going to cost, I think it was $400 million, and then it was, $4 billion. Now it's up to, the figures anyway is almost doubled since we passed the legislation, sort of like Medicare, that was going to cost $9 billion by the year 1990, and by 1990 it really cost $90 billion. They come up with these figures, they lie to the American people, they tell us one thing, then they do another. And the American people have so foolishly forgotten what they were told initially and said, oh, shucks, they just made a mistake. They don't make mistakes. They know what they're doing. I think they just don't want the American people to know.
Well, I remember the story about that student who was once asked the question, what is the greatest problem facing the world today, ignorance or
apathy.
Apathy. And he said, I don't know and I don't care.
And I think that's really so true.
And that's why in my book I have four appendixes, and they are in this order: the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and the Barman Declaration.
And
you know, let's just get back to the basics. Who has read the Constitution? Who knows what it says? Who are willing to stand up today against both liberals and neoconservatives who are cut from the same cloth and are simply asking who's going to control Big Brother, instead of asking, as they should, how can we get rid of a Big Brother? And so the only difference between liberals and conservatives is that they devise different plans of what to do with the power of the federal government. And that's why Republicans have failed to prevent the growth of the federal budget in recent years, because they're not even faintly interested in the United States Constitution. They aren't even faintly interested in controlling the expansion of government.
Well, Chris, the Democrats want big government and higher taxes. The Republicans want big government and lower taxes. Nobody ever suggests cutting back on government to what it says in the Constitution. They have forgotten what our founding fathers wrote. They didn't trust government. They believed that liberty and limited government were synonymous. They believed that tyranny and total government were synonymous. And if you didn't restrict the power of the federal government, you would eventually end up with tyranny. That's what America was all about. The Bill of Rights was a restrictive covenant on what government could not do. It was to bind the government down and the politicians down and the bureaucrats down with the chains of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking those chains off of the bureaucrats and off of the politicians, and they're forging them for the people. And where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? It's almost blind obedience to the Republican administration, because they're giving money to the Republicans. Isn't that wonderful? They're giving money to Republican organizations of faith.
You might recall, Stan, in 1995, when Republicans promised that the National Endowment of the Arts would be abolished, and conservatives everywhere cheered. But when the Republicans couldn't get enough votes to put their plan into action, they beat a hasty retreat.
And they could have done it if they'd really wanted to. If they'd wanted to cut back on big government, they could have. Time and time again, they snatch a victory out of the jaws of, or a defeat out of the jaws of victory. We'll be right back here. This is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Dr. David Black. You know, I think that as you really contemplate what happened in Hitler's Germany, centralization of power in government, increased militarization, parades of waving flags, you know, the glorification of war and men being killed in battle, and these are brave people who are going over there, and they believe they're fighting for America. But are we really going to bring freedom to other people at home, as we are forced to give up our freedom here in the United States? For the first time in all history, we're moving towards a federal identification card, something we've never had before. And our boys are fighting and dying overseas, thinking they're fighting for freedom, while we're losing our freedom here at home.
Well, I believe with Jefferson that the government that governs best governs least. And on this, the issue of the Iraqi war, I side squarely with my libertarian friends, who have been among the staunchest allies of the old right in forging a foreign policy that keeps America out of wars where the vital interests of the Republic are not threatened. As George Washington put it, the great rule of conduct for us in relation to foreign nations is in extending our commercial relations to have with them as little political connections as possible. And, of course, what we were seeing today is the very opposite taking place in our foreign policy. And I argue in the book that if American interventionism continues at the current pace, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that the conflict will degenerate into a two-continent war from Algeria to Iraq, with the United States and Israel left to fight alone against a half-dozen Arab and Muslim states. It's almost as if nobody reads the Constitution. It's almost as if the Constitution doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, I share your concern about that. I have very little doubt that we are planning on going to war with Syria. We're simply looking for an excuse. I mean, the Syrians are frightened to death about that. I have no sympathy for Assad. He's a ruthless dictator, just as his father was before him. But, you know, after this spectacle, this assassination in Beirut, Lebanon, where a former Lebanese prime minister was assassinated in a terrorist bombing, a very sophisticated terrorist bombing, where over 100 people were injured, this was no isolated act. This was done by some intelligence agency, and immediately the United States said, Syria did it, Syria did it. The Syrians scared to death. They offered to even turn over Saddam's half-brother to the United States. They'll do anything they can because they know we're planning, we want an excuse to attack Syria, and I think the rest of the world understands that. I just don't think the average American understands that they're looking for an excuse to go to war.
And let's not forget, Stan, that it's unconstitutional to go to war, even a preemptive war, without a congressional declaration.
Well, I think that the people in Washington, D.C. really don't believe in the Constitution anymore.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. David Black. And Dr. David Black is in academics, but he's deeply concerned about what is going on in our society today. It was very interesting that Condoleezza Rice, who just happens to have been formerly on the board of Chevron Oil Company, in fact, they even named an oil tanker after Condoleezza Rice until she became the National Security Advisor. And then, of course, that ship disappeared, the Condoleezza Rice. Well, it came back in. They painted it. They changed the name of the ship. It flies in and out of Angola, where, of course, the Chevron Oil Company is keeping the communist regime there in power, and they have for the better part of the last 25 years or more. Anyway, Condoleezza Rice now, of course, has named all of the axis of evil, and she named all of the countries that are threat to world peace. But she forgot to mention communist China. Oh, she mentioned Syria, and she mentioned Iran, and she mentioned Zimbabwe, and she mentioned North Korea. But you know, we wonder why she wouldn't mention communist China, which, of course, is sending its agents into Nepal today. And, of course, they want to take over the country there. And what are we doing? We're doing everything. England and India are doing everything they can to make sure the communists succeed, even the United States. We've cut off all aid to the government that is opposing the communists in Nepal. And as the king of Nepal says, you've got a choice, either me or the communists. And obviously, we prefer the communists because we've cut off military aid to the king of Nepal. And, of course, then the Chinese-supported Maoist terrorists are going to take over that kingdom, exactly as the communists were able to take over China when we put an arms embargo on Chiang Kai-shek back in 1945. 5, 6, 7, and 8 until communism fell, exactly as we did a decade later in Cuba, as we put an embargo on Batista so he couldn't buy weapons anywhere in the world and brought Fidel Castro to power, exactly as we did a few years later with Somoza regime in Nicaragua, and we brought the communist Sandinista to power, and then we could have a war with them. And then of course, we did the same thing in Rhodesia, and we brought Mugabe to power, and we did the same thing to the Shah of Iran, and we brought the Ayatollah Committee to power. It's always you put on an arms embargo so you can't buy weapons. You do everything you can to undermine the government. And then we're surprised when the communists take over. You wonder when the American people are going to begin to see that pattern.
Well, it won't happen until the pastors of the country speak out. Bonhoeffer made this statement: the pastor has to speak the truth, not the truth of ideology, but the truth of the gospel, which the world does not like to hear. The role of the pastor is not to be a master of ceremonies for the world celebrating itself. The role of the pastor is the role of the fool, the one who is set aside to speak the truth even when nobody wants to hear it. And I believe we could lay the blame at the feet of the evangelical church today, which deserves, in my opinion, very sharp criticism for its flabby, compromising attitude toward what I call the new patriotism, and because of its enthusiasm for the nation's arrogant empire building. And what has happened is we've had paganism in the form of state worship to invade the church, and yet our leaders are silent. And it is my opinion that we who proclaim the gospel owe it to our congregations to oppose this falsification of the gospel, just as they did in 1934 in Nazi Germany.
Well, of course, but many people will argue on the other side, it is the function of the church to preach the gospel, not to be concerned about what the government's doing. And after all, in Romans 13, weren't we told to support the government? After all, God put those people in charge. They wouldn't be there if God hadn't put them there. So we owe them our allegiance. We owe them our support.
When government becomes a god, and when statism becomes the official national religion, and demands to be worshipped, as that begins to happen, it's our response must be to say no, because we've already said yes to the one Word of God, whom we are obligated to trust, whom we are obligated to obey in life and in death. And for Bonhoeffer and for Niemöller and for dozens of other confessing Germans, action by the church was justified on the basis of ensuring that the state fulfilled its God-given function as state and not as God.
Tragically,
in Germany, the confessing church acted too late, and I hope we do not repeat their tardiness in our country today.
Well, I think that one of the great tragedies is I'm sure that many of the ministers were very critical of Bonhoeffer and Niemöller because they were rocking the boat. They were going to get the government mad at the church. And they didn't want anything to come down because they were all, of course, getting money from the Nazi regime. And exactly as in America today, where we have something called the Faith-Based Initiative, where many of our Christian leaders are getting millions of dollars from the federal government. Of course, that's to do good things. Well, I'll tell you what, whoever pays the piper calls the tune. And I think there should be an outcry, and we should say, we don't want your money. We don't want you giving money to left-wing organizations. We don't want you giving money to right-wing organizations. And we sure don't want you giving money to the church, because what you're doing is buying the support of church leaders across America. And some of our biggest ministries are there with both hands outstretched in adoration, waiting for the money to be put into them. And they've given millions of dollars to some of our major ministries, but they take it because, oh, we can do so much good with it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And one of the ministers, I have yet to hear a minister speak out against the Faith-Based Initiative, which I think comes right from the pit of hell.
Well, yes, and you talked about the church in Germany acquiescing to Nazism, and that was very true. The new patriotism, as it was called, was hardly protested against at all. Now, in our own country, the new patriotism is to be protested against precisely because it is a theological heresy. I try to get people to realize the real issue today in America is spiritual, it's not political. And because it is a theological heresy, and because it has become the prevailing doctrine in our church, in our churches, through usurpation, then the protest has to be directed fundamentally against the source of the error. And that is that people place their faith in government as a second source of redemption and thereby show themselves to be believers in another God. And there is no other God, and there is no other Savior, and there is no other King other than Jesus. Christ alone is the King, no King but King Jesus, the watchword of the American Revolution.
And, of course, the whole idea was that we were to be answerable to God. The only reason you had a federal government at all was to deal with foreign governments or to correct problems between the states. But the federal government was to have nothing to do with the individual. The federal government was not to have the right to tax the individual. Why? Because if they could tax the individual, they could control the individual. And if the federal government had a lot of money, could use it to buy the support of the people and, of course, to buy the support of the politicians. This is what you would find in a democracy. And the one thing our founding fathers did not want was a democracy, where the people, of course, would look to government to provide for them, because they well knew, exactly as Alexander Tyler had said in 1787, professor there of history at Edinburgh University, you know, democracies are temporary forms of government. They last only until the people finally can vote themselves into the largest of the treasury. The people vote for the politicians who give them the most, and then, of course, the government goes bankrupt and is replaced by tyranny. America's well along the way, that, and there's not probably 1 in 100 Americans who really understands the difference today between a republic and a democracy, whereas 50 years ago, everybody understood we were a republic. We were never to become a democracy, but they took over our textbooks, they took over our schools, they took over our media. And, of course, everybody talks about America bringing a democracy. Now we want to bring democracy to the world. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest, Dr. David Black, who teaches classical Greek, or is that classical or ancient Greek?
New Testament Greek.
New Testament Greek. Do you teach in a theological institution?
That's right. I teach at a seminary in North Carolina.
Okay, fine. Well, you know, I think what is the attitude among the Christians that you're in contact with? Are they going along with the all-powerful state in the name of, well, look at all the good we're doing, bringing freedom to people there in the Middle East?
I'm beginning to talk to more and more people who are willing to join what was called during the Revolution the Black Regiment. And as you know, the Black Regiment was a group of clergy who were fierce opponents of British tyranny. And these men of God staunchly opposed the divine right of kings. Their cry was, "Restore the crown, rights of King Jesus." And I run across these people all of the time. They are very impassioned for liberty. They are very passionate about freedom. And they are very impassioned about restoring the constitutional republic that our government started out to be. And I invite them, in fact, in an essay on my website, I invite them to take the pledge of the Black Regiment, and simply to say this, I will fight for the truth. I will be beholden to no one, whether Democrat, Republican, or other, except for Jesus. I will stand up to the despots who are seeking to enslave us by sending our children to their deaths as they build their new world order. I will seek to bind our politicians with the chains of the Constitution, and I will do this for the glory of God and the advancement of Christian liberty. And I am finding more and more men who are willing to join and have the courage to join and realize that their treasure in heaven will more than amply repay whatever their radical obedience may cost them in this life.
That is a beautiful statement. Is that on your website?
Yes, it is. It's under the title, Pastors Join the Black Regiment.
And I think that really is so true. People have to understand that our founding fathers believed no king but King Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We were answerable to God, not to government. Our Declaration of Independence laid that out very clearly. For there it stated that our freedoms came from God, not from government. For we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to ensure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their power from the consent, just power from the consent of the governed. Government was established to protect our God-given rights, not to give us anything at all. And how far we've strayed from that. to the point today where people look to government to, you know, so we have to have a government card, so very soon so they're going to be able to travel. If you don't take the government card, the government-issued card, of course, they're putting this over, saying, oh, we have to have these cards because we have to be able to control the illegal immigration. There's not one word in that act about controlling illegal immigration. They're not trying to stop illegal immigration. They're encouraging illegal immigration so they can say, look at the problem. Now we need new laws to control the American people. That's what it's all about. Until we understand we're moving towards tyranny, the people who are doing this know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, they control both the Republicans and the Democrats. But the great tragedy is so many Republican legislators in Washington, D.C. voted for this new federal ID card, somehow believing if it's going to control illegal immigration. You really wonder if they've ever read the legislation.
We have today an entire generation of Americans that has grown up without a clear picture of our own American history, of our Republican history. And that's because the schools fail to teach the children the Declaration of Independence, the principles of the Constitution, and even less do our children understand where our freedoms are threatened today. The traditional emphasis upon freedom from government has been replaced by the extreme of the warfare of welfare and state. And so the American ideal has disappeared.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. No, go right ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the philosophy of the less government we have, the better, no longer even exists in the American mind and attitude. So how are we going to reverse that?
Well, I don't know, but let's go to Paul, who's calling from Niagara Falls. Almost sounds like we can hear the falls in the background. Paul, are you there?
No, it's not the falls, Doctor. It's my big truck.
Okay, go ahead.
Real quick comment. I don't listen to Rush anymore either, but I turned him on once in the last year, and I swear to God, this is exactly what he said. He was talking about people talking about the neocons, and he said, when people use that word, it's just a code word for Jews.
Well, of course, the thing is that anybody who opposes what's going on has got to be an anti-Semitic bigot. That, of course, shows you where Rush Limbaugh is coming from, the finest conservative money can buy.
Thank you.
God bless, and let's go to David, who's calling from Forts Creek in Michigan. Hi. Is that Michigan or Minnesota? David?
Yes.
Whereabouts are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering what role, like, international bankers have. I've been reading that they want to create world socialism and dominate it, and also they'll finance both sides of a war. They finance Hitler. They finance the United States. They finance, you know, opposing forces.
Right.
Is that true? And how much is that going on right now?
All right, Dr. Black, would you like to comment on David's question? He's talking about, he's heard that the international bankers are financing both political parties, are financing the wars, and are manipulating everything going on in the world. Is there truth to that statement or not, in your opinion?
Oh, I think there's a lot of truth to it. And I think, again, you have to go back to what our founders thought. They rejected the mystically based state, and they felt human nature could not be trusted where political power was concerned, and so they produced a thing called a constitution with a very, very strict system of checks and balances. And the constitution was based on the assumption that men were hardly angels. Government was therefore to be libertarian and very limited. And we see these ideas not only in the constitution but in our most notable quasi-official documents, the Declaration of Independence, Washington's farewell address. And as I said earlier, I think the problem is that we have lost America's most original contribution to political theory, and that has been the fact that it has no political theory. That is, it does not place any trust in government. Freedom as an ideal and as a goal, and as is incorporated in our great documents of American life, has been replaced by government mendaciousness, government coercion, government intervention by the warfare and welfare of state. And so the only way back, I think, is really through repentance. I think the only answer to the present crisis will be found in Christianity, if you will, a Christianity with the courage to be countercultural, a Christianity that will reclaim the wisdom of the past, a Christianity that teaches that life is not a vacation but a vocation. And when God moves, we must move with him. So really, I believe that we need a spiritual revival in our nation.
I certainly would agree with everything you've said. David, you were asking about the bankers. is what as you've read about the bankers true? Absolutely. There is a group of central bankers that really control the governments of the world. Now, then, of course, that takes you to the next step. Are these Jewish bankers? And they are not Jewish bankers. In fact, many of the, even the so-called Jewish banks like Goldman Sachs, if you get into the background, are Lehman Brothers. Who was the president of Lehman Brothers? Well, his name was Pete Peterson. He was a Greek. And, of course, he was also the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. David, have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
No, I haven't.
Well, could I suggest you get that? Because that'll answer your question. You're absolutely right, but you see, that's only half the answer. And what they do is they give you half the answer. I mean, you can find that the Skull and Bones is involved. You can find the Masons involved. You can find the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists. And, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations and Bilderbergers. And all of these organizations, but they all have a common denominator. They are all founded in the occult. They are all anti-Christian. They are all dedicated to a new world order and a new world religion. I suggest my September and October newsletters last year, which deal with finance, deal with international banking, goes back to the First Bank of the United States. And all of these people were founded in the occult. Okay?
Yes. What was the name of your book again?
Brotherhood of Darkness. Hang on. We'll let you know how to get it.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've still got David on the line. You get this by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. It's the best short summary of what's going on. Have anything else to say?
Could you repeat that number?
1-800-544-8927.
8927?
Right.
Well, you're talking about the Jews. I mean, I know it's not a complete Jewish conspiracy or anything like that, but what about, like, the Wahlbergs and the Rothschilds?
Sure, look, there are a lot of bad Jewish people. There are a lot of there are a lot of bad Catholic people, a lot of bad Protestants.
Oh, I know that.
That's what they want to do. They're going to focus you on certain people and certain names to lead you off the track. Okay? Read the book,
yeah.
And then give me a call, and we can talk about it. How's that?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, Dr. Black, we're just about out of time. Let's get your website out again and, of course, how people can get your book, Why Don't Listen to Rush Anymore.
Thank you, Stan. It's simply DaveBlackOnline.com, and if they will go to the home page and click on the book cover, it'll take them directly to the publisher's website.
That's Dave Black Online, and of course, you can go well, Dr. Black's promised to give me a copy of the book. I'm looking forward to reading it because, you know, we've only talked on the radio a few times, but I find I'm just in total agreement with what he has to say. We've got about a minute and a half. Would you like to wrap up the program for us?
We must never forget that Christianity began as a religious movement in a time of political oppression. And as you know, Jesus was put to death as an innocent victim of the state. His followers suffered for centuries at the hand of government officials who demanded conformity to the state. And so it is my sincere desire through my website, through my writings, that we will be able to motivate Christians in a wide variety of fields to stand up for the proper role of civil government, which is never to manage society as if the state were omnipotent, but to allow greater freedoms for individuals, families, and for civic institutions so that they can flourish without unnecessary restraint from secular authority. That's our message, and I know of many, many Christians whose faith has made a big difference in their entire orientation towards society and culture, and I believe it's time for Christians to stand up for the Bible and for the United States Constitution.
Amen to that, and I agree with you totally. Well, if we got back to the Constitution, if people understood the Constitution, which is why, of course, we every month we have David Whitney on from the Institute of the Constitution to begin to rejuvenate an understanding of this most wonderful document that was bequeathed to us from our founding fathers. Dr. Black, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and I hope we can get you back on again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you, Stan.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, I hope you enjoyed our special guest this evening, and, of course, it's just a... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just reiterate what I said to David, who'd called in from, I assume that was from Michigan, that to understand all of these issues, there's so much evidence out there. This is a Jewish conspiracy, and I assure you it's not. I address all of this in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. The anti-Semitism is a smokescreen to conceal what this is really all about. There really are occult forces in the work today, in the world today, with an intense hatred of Jews, and they're doing everything they can to focus attention on the Jews. And of course, the other people want to focus attention on the Catholics, and other people want to focus attention on the Masons or the Jesuits. Oh, they're the center of the conspiracy. None of them are the center of the conspiracy. This is a satanic conspiracy. And of course, they are trying to manipulate all the various groups. Most Jews, there are lots of Jews that are good conservatives here in the United States. And you have to understand, anti-Semitism is an effort to distract you from what this is really all about. Now, there are a couple of books we offer. One of them is called Hitler's Cross. It's written by Erwin Lutzer, who is the senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago. It's the story of what happened in Hitler's Germany, what happened to the church, why the church failed, totally to stop the onslaught of Nazism. So let me suggest Hitler's Cross. I think it's an excellent book. I think that Alexander Robbins' book on the skull and bones, because you have to understand that both the Democrat and Republican presidential candidates came from this same occult organization that featured the Nazi swastika and Nazi memorabilia. Why would they do something like that? I mean, that would just be like celebrating the Ku Klux Klan, and similar in many other respects as well. So, I mean, Alexander Robbins' excellent book, The Secrets of the Tomb, we have that available at Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We are dealing with organized evil on a scale never before encountered in the history of civilization. And you need to read some of the statements in my book, which I take from the occult writings, and we have all sorts of them. You need, of course, to get, I think, Dr. Kathy Byrne's book, Occult, or I guess it's called Masonic and Occult Symbols, and you'll find these symbols hidden in plain sight everywhere you look. You need to get our 4-tape set on the church growth movement. You need to understand what's happening in the Protestant church and how it is being neutralized. Books such as Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church or Deceived on Purpose. That is, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church or Deceived on Purpose. We have a great DVD on the church growth movement. It's called Diaprax. And of course, we have the 4-tape set on the apostate church. We have the 4-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. And ladies and gentlemen, there really are satanic organizations in the world today. If you haven't heard our 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley and his friends, who was Aleister Crowley? Why, Aleister Crowley was a Satanist, one of the dominant forces in America during the first half of the last century. His disciples were people like Alfred Kinsey, Timothy Leary, and if you don't believe Timothy Leary was a disciple of Aleister Crowley, you need to get the video we offer, the 3 or the 4 or the 10 hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. That's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, and you'll hear Timothy Leary saying, I'm simply carrying out Aleister Crowley's program. You need to get that video, the 3, the 4, the 10 hour version. And then, of course, you need to get our 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley and his friends. And we have 4-tape sets on so many issues, how they're poisoning our children and destroying their minds with mercury, and how they're destroying the minds of the elderly by the silver fillings that are in your teeth. And, of course, this is not just simply rambling of dementia. There are scientists who've studied this and studied it carefully. And we know, well, we don't have time to go into what mercury and fluoride and aspartame and so many other things are doing, the aluminum, the vaccines. They know, they've done the studies on it, but you're never going to read about them. In the New York Times, you hear Rush Limbaugh talking about them. Pray for America, pray for revival, but please remember to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from Southern California, certainly one of my favorite authors, my favorite video producers, I should say. His name is Chris Pinto, and we're going to be talking about his new video he's put out along with Pastor Joe Schimmel. And for those of you who don't know who Joe Schimmel is, why, he's the pastor who put out They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. So, of course, Chris has put out Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and if you haven't seen those, why, you've missed a real treat. And now he's put out a new video on Harry Potter. So, Chris, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me again, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why don't you tell our listeners why Harry Potter is important? After all, we've heard a lot about Harry Potter, but a lot of our Christian ministries don't seem to be very upset about this. Certainly our schools aren't upset about this. Many of them are actually pushing the Harry Potter books in school because, after all, the children get fascinated with them and they're learning to read, and isn't that good? I mean, isn't reading important?
Well, that's what we hear, and that's certainly the way the Potter books were introduced into the schools. In fact, a lot of people don't realize it, but the Harry Potter series had already been published in England, but it was not so successful that J.K. Rowling became the international sensation that she has now become. But what happened was the books were picked up by Scholastic, her publisher, and they began to get them into the school system.
Now, Scholastic is the largest textbook publisher here in the United States, aren't they?
I believe that's correct.
Right.
But it was Scholastic that that began to get the Harry Potter books into the school system and send them to school teachers and so on, and to get them to introduce the books to the kids. And this is what turned Harry Potter into a sensation. It was, and of course, there are those who argue that it would have never gotten into our school system if it hadn't been first endorsed by a number of Christian ministries and Christian leaders who should have been sounding a trumpet, an alarm against this, because this is something that openly teaches witchcraft and black magic and so on, something clearly condemned in the Bible, and yet many Christian leaders, men like Chuck Colson, and others, magazines like Christianity Today, have openly endorsed the books and encouraged people to read them. And this is, what many researchers attribute to what has allowed. It's because the watchmen who were on the wall and who should have been stopping this actually opened the door wide and said, "Come on in," that Harry Potter has become the sensation it is.
Now, why would Christian ministries endorse a book that would introduce our children to witchcraft? It would be like having them read pornography because, well, after all, they're reading. And yet, of course, this pornography would lead our children astray. And certainly introducing them to witchcraft and glorifying witchcraft and spells and the supernatural is going to lead our children astray. And it's had a phenomenal impact on the minds of our children.
It really has. A lot of people don't realize how huge the Harry Potter books are. They've been translated into 55 different languages at last count. Everything from, as CNN puts it, they said they've been translated in every language from Albanian to Zulu.
Hold that thought. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, of course, is Chris Pinto, and we're talking about his new video he's put out along with Joe Schimmel on Harry Potter. And Chris was talking about how widely disseminated this book is. Some 55 different languages, including Zulu, and of course, as the Zulus now are strongly Christian as a tribe. This is Christianity, the predominant religion there. But of course, this is going to lead many of these children back into this whole idea of witchcraft, which was the religion before the missionaries came to Africa. Because, of course, whether it's witchcraft or whatever you want to call it, I know when I lived and practiced medicine in South Africa, so many of the blacks there would go to the witch doctor before they'd go to the white doctor. You'd see the burn marks for the witch doctor, where, of course, they had cast the spells and burned them, to cure them. And then, of course, they didn't cure them, they sent them to the white doctor. But unfortunately, we are leading children throughout the world into the dark world of the occult. Isn't that true?
Well, it certainly seems that way. Thankfully, there are a number of people like yourself who are sounding an alarm and trying to warn people and encouraging people to, as the Bible says in Ezekiel, to put that difference between the holy and the profane. But unfortunately, many people in America, and particularly Christians, they're the ones I think that we're speaking to the most, because the Bible doesn't have anything kind or acceptable to say about witchcraft and sorcery. In fact, it's repeatedly condemned not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, very last book in the Bible. Jesus, in the book of Revelation, says that sorcerers, those who practice witchcraft and so on, will all have their part in the lake that burns with fire, which is a very serious warning that ought to be taken seriously by those who are claiming to follow Christ.
I certainly agree with that as well, but the tragic thing is that this has swept the world. A great phenomenon, Rawlings, who was a welfare mother, is now a billionaire, billionaire. She's made fabulous amounts of money, but the really tragic thing is the impact that these ideas have placed in children's minds, not only through the books, but now through the movies, which glorify witchcraft. And witchcraft is exciting. Witchcraft offers you all sorts of opportunities for power. Witchcraft offers you an opportunity to be able to influence the things that go on around you. And so until we understand that the young minds, the minds of our youth, are being conditioned to accept the occult, and no society has ever encouraged their children to go into the occult, and that society has survived. We'll be right back with Chris. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Chris Pinto, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Chris has done a magnificent job on this video, exactly as he did in his Megiddo 1 series, which, of course, was the story of prophecy. And, of course, I know that some Bible teachers actually used Megiddo 1 because it takes you from the prophecies of Daniel all the way up to what's going on today, World War I, World War II, World War III, Nostradamus, Edgar Cayce, false prophets, and then, of course, the true prophecies of the one true God. And then, of course, the second video, Megiddo 2, which is, of course, an excellent 3-hour, very professionally done video, and going into the background of the occult forces in our society. And, of course, that leads directly into Harry Potter. And, of course, its profound impact on our society today. So, well, you have some magnificent footage in there of the Harry Potter films, and so much of the material on Harry Potter, really, it's very, very beautifully done.
Yeah, we put it together as part of a new series that we're doing with Pastor Joe called The Occult Agenda. And it's really just talking about exactly that, the agenda of the occult realm. And I really like Pastor Joe's perspective on it, because his argument, as he points out in the Rock video, is that the video is called Harry Potter, A Spirit Conspiracy, with a question mark at the end, because J.K. Rowling claims in her quotes and things that she said and so on that Harry Potter came to her fully formed. She talks about, she even writes about in her books, about opening the inner eye, that third eye that we know in the occult, whether it's Hinduism or various forms of witchcraft and so on. Occultists are always looking to open that third eye, which allows them to see into the spirit realm. And so J.K. Rowling talks about seeing in her mind's eye Harry Potter, and talks about how Potter came to her fully formed, and the other characters with him, as though something or someone presented these characters to her, as though they had already been designed by somebody else who presented them to Rowling in her mind's eye, and then she just wrote them down in her books.
Well, I think what you're really describing is somebody who is channeling from another force, another spirit, and they're channeling these ideas to her. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, that's what we believe she's doing. Now, what the reason I say I'm using phrases like mind's eye and strolled into her mind and fully formed and so on is because these are her words. This is what she says about the work. I think you and I would call it a form of spirit channeling. I don't know that she is, she's talked about how since childhood that she's had a fascination with witchcraft, and that even before she began the Harry Potter books, that she had an extensive knowledge of old world English witchcraft and so on.
And of course, basically so much of her books really comes right out of the books on witchcraft. This is what we're training our children. It's sort of like a How to Do It book.
Right. She talks about how a percentage, and I can't remember if she said 50% or something like that, but that a percentage of the stuff that she puts in her books comes from, like, real witchcraft, and then a part of it is from her imagination. Certainly it only takes, you know, one drop of cyanide and a cup of coffee to kill somebody. She's admitting that there is plenty of real world, real life occultism in her books, and certainly anybody who's familiar with the practices of the occult and so on, you can read passages in her book or read about different things that she's got in her books and so on, and recognize that it's a very real representation of sorcery. And she talks about how how these characters came to her fully formed and as though they were something that was designed beforehand, and she saw it on this train ride, and she talks about that train ride in her interviews, and talks about it being the most remarkable train ride she ever took, and then of course you see the Hogwarts train in the Harry Potter books, where Harry gets on the train and he's on a journey now that takes him to Hogwarts. And it seems to parallel her own experience, almost as though the train that she took led her into the occult realm, and so she's pictured that now in the Harry Potter books themselves.
And of course, we're really talking about, through the miracle, of course, of television, through the miracle of motion picture, through the miracle of mass distribution and mass printing, literally hundreds of millions of children and even adults have been introduced to the exciting world of witchcraft through the writings of Harry Potter writings. And the average individual has no idea that we are seeing today a world that's just becoming increasingly wicked, focusing on the metaphysical, focusing on the dark side, focusing on the supernatural. And, of course, it is fascinating. I will tell you it's fascinating, but, of course, you'd venture into this at the risk of eternal damnation.
Well, certainly that's Jesus and all the prophets and writers of the Scripture make it very clear that those who practice witchcraft will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's very difficult to imagine or to realize how anybody in the Christian community, any pastor, a teacher, a leader, anyone, would endorse these books, much less encourage people to read them or to suggest that there's nothing harmful within them. I mean, Rowling herself has admitted that the books, she admitted like several books ago that her series was going to get darker and darker as it went along. And if you study witchcraft, it usually begins with white witchcraft, which is, sort of the peace and love, and you're doing spells and blessings and this kind of thing. And then slowly, as a witch passes from one degree to the next, the degrees become darker and darker until one day it's revealed to them who the horned god of witchcraft really is, because initially they don't know who the horned god is. They think that Pan is just, you know, this happy-go-lucky fairy that gives them power to cast spells and so on, and it's only when they cross a certain line into the darkest form, or the dark, you know, the dark arts, that it's revealed that Pan is actually Satan. And I remember having a conversation with a girl a couple of years ago who had an interest in Wicca, which is witchcraft, it's white witchcraft, and talking to this girl, and was talking to her about the horned god of witchcraft, and she was like, Pan? And she was really excited that I was talking about Pan. And I told her, you know, because she was dabbling on the fringe of the witchcraft realm, and I told her that, you know, if she pursued this, that eventually it would be revealed to her that Pan was in fact Satan. And she was just blown away by that. She was shocked. She was like, Pan? Are you serious? Oh, come on. You know, she was very, very surprised by it. It's something that we as Christians who research these kind of things, we would take that for granted. But it's amazing how many people don't realize Satan's deception in the witchcraft realm. In fact, we make the point, the father of modern Wicca is a man named Gerald Gardner, who really sort of launched the modern Wicca movement. He's called the father of modern Wicca. But we make the point in our Harry Potter documentary that Gardner was in fact inspired by the Satanist Aleister Crowley. And Crowley was very clearly a black magician. As many of us know, he was known as the wickedest man in the world. He openly worshipped Satan and admitted that profusely in his writings, as much as certain Crowleyites have tried to alienate Satanism and Crowley. It's just not to be done. He's just abundantly given over to every satanic abomination that you could imagine.
And you covered that beautifully. What's in Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2? I remember you covered that beautifully.
We talk about Crowley in Megiddo 2 and his just his witchcraft and his relationship to the occult, but we give a different overview of Crowley. I wanted to talk about some different things on Crowley in Harry Potter, but just to let people know who Crowley was, to give him a brief overview, and also to talk about his relationship with Gerald Gardner, and how Gardner was actually a member of Crowley's OTO, the Ordo Templi Orientis, which was Crowley's organization. And Gardner was a member of the OTO, and Crowley apparently, you know, gave him the authority to start his own group and encouraged him in Wicca. And in fact, a high priestess named Mary Nesnik, I believe is her name, is quoted saying that 50% of modern Wicca was bought and paid for by Gerald Gardner from Aleister Crowley. And Satanists like Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan, have openly admitted that there's no difference between white witchcraft and black witchcraft, that it's all, you know, white magic and black magic are one and the same thing. It's just that white magicians are deceived into thinking, you know, that what they're doing is something good, or that it can be used for a good purpose and so on. And it's just a matter of time before it's revealed to them that really the lord of all witchcraft is the devil himself.
And, of course, Aleister Crowley lived on Loch Ness in Scotland. And he was known by the people who lived close to him as the other Loch Ness monster.
Right.
And you have to really understand. In fact, I think it was Jimmy Page of the Led Zeppelins that would carry a book called Fallen Angel going into the Led Zeppelin rock group. But their chief guitarist was... he was a Satanist. He bought Aleister Crowley's house. It all ties together. Of course, nobody's going to tell you this. Certainly, you're not going to get this from Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly or Rush Limbaugh. They're not going to tell you we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of mankind, for the souls of our children, for the survival of Western civilization. But that's what Chris Pinto does so well. In his videos, Megiddo 1, which is 2.25 hours, very professionally done. Megiddo 2, which is 3 hours, and I'm in that one for just a little bit. And then, of course, in his latest production, Harry Potter, and you really need to get that, because, of course, we're talking about the powerful spiritual forces that dominate the world today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Chris Pinto. We're talking about the new series that Chris has put out, along with Pastor Joe Schimmel. And those of you who don't know who Joe Schimmel is, why, he is, of course, the man who put together They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. He's a pastor, and, of course, Chris goes to his church, and I suppose that's why you put this together. Now, what's the full title of your new video again?
It's part one of a new series that we're doing. We're planning to cover different subjects in the series. We want to do a video on Nostradamus. We want to do one on Muhammad. We're planning to do one on Wicca and various subjects, and just tackle them one at a time in smaller chunks. But it's called The Occult Agenda, and part one is on Harry Potter, and we call it A Spirit Conspiracy with a question mark. And we ask the question at the beginning. You know, is it possible that the Harry Potter books, because they're such a phenomena and they have just swept all over the world and people are fascinated with them in seemingly every country. In fact, the only book in history that has been translated into more languages than Harry Potter is the Bible, which I found to be just a remarkable factoid that I found online. I didn't realize that. But it's been translated into that many languages, that many people are reading the Harry Potter books. It's estimated that, I think it's every 30 seconds, that somebody somewhere in the world begins to read a Harry Potter book. Barnes & Noble, when they released Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, claimed that they were selling 80 copies per second of that book within the first 24 hours. It is an unthinkable phenomenon. And J.K. Rowling is getting ready to release her next book, I think by this summer. In fact, I saw just a couple of minutes on one of these early morning talk shows where they had a bunch of kids lined up talking about Harry Potter. So for people who think that this phenomenon is going to go away anytime soon, I mean, Warner Brothers has several more films lined up to produce and to release. Rowling is getting ready to release a new Harry Potter book. And if you look at book series like The Lord of the Rings and The Chronicles of Narnia and other things that are involved, you know, in fantasy and magic and this kind of thing, they don't go out of style anytime soon. I mean, Tolkien's books have been around for half a century, and so have The Chronicles of Narnia. So it's not likely that Harry Potter is going to go away anytime soon. And, you know, the point that we try to make, we try to be sober-minded about the Harry Potter books and not, you know, give the impression that, wow, if you read one of these books, your kid's going to go off and join a coven of witches somewhere. That's not necessarily the point that we're trying to make. But what Pastor Joe does, I think, a very good job of is he makes the point that this is something that is being used. It's certainly not been given to J.K. Rowling by God. You know, God hasn't inspired J.K. Rowling. I mean, why would God inspire books on sorcery and magic and so on? And normalizing that and a bunch of kids getting into mischief and being somewhat rebellious and, you know, disobeying authority and having this be somewhat rewarded within the context of the story.
And actually being rewarded for lying and for doing the wrong thing, for cheating. I mean, is this the sort of message we want to give to our children?
Yeah, there's problems at all kinds of different levels. I don't think it's just the magic. It's in the third Harry Potter book, you've got Harry saying, you know, quote, "I solemnly swear that I am up to no good." That's one of the incantations.
Hold that thought right there, Chris. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Chris Pinto. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, there are a lot of people who sort of scoff at this. Oh, you know, you're just looking for something to be concerned about. Well, I will tell you that the most rapid growing religion in the United States is not the Muslim faith, it's witchcraft. And witchcraft is growing by leaps and bounds. You go up on the internet, you'll find literally thousands and thousands of sites dealing with witchcraft and the supernatural and Luciferianism and Satanism, and it's all there. And of course, this is certainly opening people to the dark side. And so many people get involved in this. You probably heard me tell the story before of when I did a nationwide program, I guess it was about a year ago. It was called Unscrewed. Now, this is a network that is aimed at the young people, the people who are into the internet, the people who are into the computers, the computer nerds, but they've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of listeners. The most bizarre a network I've ever seen, but it's up there. I had about a 6-minute segment to talk about Luciferianism, the symbol on the back of the dollar bill, witchcraft and Satanism. I got this incensed letter from a witch who told me that, how dare I say that there was any relationship between witchcraft and Luciferianism. Now, I didn't say that witches were Luciferians, although they all get their power from the same site, from the same source, but she was telling me about white witches and of course, dark witches or black witches, and she was a white witch. She was a good witch, and her remark in the email, and I kept this because I thought it was so important, she said, we have our spells, and we learn how to do our incantations because we want to contact beings from another dimension. We want to contact the beings from another dimension, and that's what it's all about. They are contacting beings from another dimension who will give them tremendous power. What we're talking about, of course, is contacting demons. We've got Brian calling from Chicago. Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
How you doing, Dr. Stan?
Doing great.
I just wanted to call in and say hi to Chris and tell him that Megiddo was an excellent video.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Brian.
It's a really great way for someone to get introduced to the New World Order and what it's all about and take it in a chronological sense and biblical sense. Also, I like the... was good narration you did there, and as well the animation in the beginning.
Wasn't that great animation? I really think Chris did a great job on that. Are you talking about Megiddo 1 or Megiddo 2?
I saw the first one.
Okay.
That's very good. Order the second.
Right. Well,
have you seen the second one yet?
No, I have not, but I ordered it for a friend.
Oh, okay.
Well, I hope your friend will let you watch it then.
Right. I'll order it for myself pretty soon.
One thing of it, please try to get those people back there in the Windy City listening to our programs so we can introduce them to these ideas. This is what the church ought to be doing. They ought to be warning the people about the spiritual battle we're engaged in. But they're just so wound up doing other things and supporting the Bush administration and entertaining the people that they're not telling them about the spiritual battle we're involved in.
Right. Right.
Anything
they're
else you want to
carry
say?
People here, like it makes a difference.
Anything else you want to say, Brian?
No, I should do it.
Thanks very much. Appreciate your call.
Thanks,
let's
Brian.
Go to Robert, who's calling us from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. Thanks so much for taking my call. It's been a great show. Hello, Chris Pinto.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. Haven't had the pleasure of watching any of your material yet, but I think I better. Sounds like it's pretty good stuff.
Well, that's why we really carry these things, Robert, because, you know, we try to carry things we think really put the message out. And I think Chris has done a magnificent job with his material.
A couple of points. Number one, Chris, I think you said earlier in the program that in the beginning when J.K. Rowling's books first were released in Europe, they were very... weak sellers, is that correct?
That is something that I got. There's a great website that deals with a lot of the Harry Potter stuff on search resources online, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And has a lot of material, a lot of exhaustive material on the Harry Potter books. But that was something that I didn't know until I started working on, I was, you know, doing the editing for Harry Potter. And just started doing some support research for our narration and so on, and found that out. I was very surprised.
Nobody wasn't until the Scholastic picked it up here in the United States and started pushing it, and our major Christian ministry started pushing it. That is what gave it the impetus, and it became such a phenomenon that now, of course, Ms. Rawlings is a billionaire.
Yeah. Why do you ask, Robert? What did you have... question about it?
No, that just surprised me. I hear you. Can I stay through the break?
Sure you can. Go ahead.
Okay.
Are you on a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay, you're being cut out. We'll try to make it so you hang on there. We'll hope that you last until we get back. Do you listen to our program every morning there in Denver?
Just about, yeah.
Okay, God. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest, of course, is Chris Pinto, and he's the producer of Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and now, of course, the new series called The Occult Agenda, Harry Potter's Spirit Conspiracy. Anyway, do you have something else you want to say, Robert?
Yeah, real quick, Dr. No, I'm almost out of time. You stated that, Chris, that J.K. Rowling's books are based in the occult. I've only seen a couple of the movies. I've never read the books, so I have really any interest to. But I've heard that criticism also, that they're based in the occult. Do you think that was her mindset when she wrote the books, the very beginning, to expose adults and children to the occult, to the dark side of the devil? Is that where she was coming from day one, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I've never read anything from her, you know, as though she sat down and had some diabolical plan of her own to try and, you know, desensitize kids to sorcery or anything. But the Bible does say that, you know, those who are not saved, that they are subject to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, and that they are taken captive by him at his will. And it certainly seems that, you know, she certainly doesn't seem to be a Christian. There seems to be no indication of that. So she would be under the power of the world, under the power of Satan, generally speaking. But even beyond that, she has always had a fascination with witchcraft and the occult, by her own admission, and seems to have, you know, when she's talking about opening her mind's eye, that denotes to somebody like me that she has a somewhat deeper knowledge of occult practices. It's not just an interest like going to, you know, enjoying Halloween or watching scary movies or whatever. It's going a level deeper into, you're actually tapping into the spirit realm. I don't know how knowledgeable she is about it, but I know that in her books, the quote that we present in the video seems to denote just a deeper understanding on her part. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I think I do.
So I couldn't accuse her, and we try not to accuse her of like saying, wow, she's part of this secret plot. I don't think, I haven't found any evidence to that effect, but I do believe that she is being inspired by the spirit realm. I think she's being used as a tool, as an instrument, to get this work out there and, to make it an international success for a purpose. And I believe it's Satan's purpose of desensitizing the world in preparation for his occult kingdom that he is in the process of building right now.
And I think he uses people all the time. They don't realize they're being used. They don't know where these ideas come from. The ideas just come to them out of nowhere. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our caller is, of course, Robert from Denver, Colorado. And Robert was asking if Rawlings was really aware of what she was doing, and Chris was commenting, he doesn't think that she, well, there's no evidence that she is intentionally trying to lead the children into witchcraft, but these ideas, so many of them seem to just come to her almost out of nowhere. Well, it sounds to me as if she is channeling many of these ideas, and this is what so many of our writers do. They actually channel ideas from the dark side. So many of the people, in fact, Joe Schimmel, who is a good friend of Chris's, started out in rock music, and he was channeling the lyrics. You listen to Bob Dylan, he talks about how when he started writing his music, it just sort of, the lyrics came out of nowhere. He couldn't do it now, but those lyrics just sort of came to him. There's a 12-year-old boy who writes symphonies. He never makes a mistake. He always writes them exactly perfectly. Beethoven, Bach, all the great composers of the past. I mean, you can see the scores that they wrote. They went over them again and again. This boy channels these symphonies directly. He writes them perfectly the first time. He knows what they are. They just come to him out of nowhere. He never had any musical training at all, and yet he knew everything about music. People say he's a genius. Well, he may very well be, but I fear that he is channeling a great deal of what he's doing. These supernatural occurrences are becoming increasingly frequent, and this is one reason I believe that we are certainly, if not in, we are certainly approaching the latter days. Anything else you wanted to say, Robert?
No, Dr. Stan, thank you and your guest, Chris Pinto. Great show. Keep up the good work. God bless.
God bless. And please get all those people there in Denver listening to us.
I'm good.
Good night.
Take care, Robert. God bless.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Robert. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California, it's 464-8295. That's 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And the problem is that most Americans have no idea we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. All of the organizations we talk about, whether it be the Masons, whether it be the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, or the Order of the Quest, or the Rosicrucians, or the Theosophists, or the Skull and Bone Society, or the Priory of Sion, or the Hierarchy, or all of these are being energized from the dark side. A lot of the people in those organizations have no idea. I don't think most Masons have any idea what Masonry is about. There's only a very small group that do. And they are energized from the dark side. And, of course, they will openly admit it. If you read their writings, it's all there. They talk about Lucifer and the worship of Lucifer and gaining the seething energies of Lucifer. That's what it's all about. Because there is power there to be obtained, but you do so at the risk of eternal damnation. So, Chris, how are we going to educate the people? I think your videos are an excellent means of doing that.
Well, we're trying to do that. We're trying to show one of the parallels that Pastor Joe shows, and we come in and we give some support information on it, is we just talk about the influence of the materials that a person is exposed to, and we provide the example of Ted Bundy, who is, many of us know, was a serial killer and murdered potentially as many as 100 women or more. In his lifetime before he was, caught and ultimately executed. But he, has a famous interview with Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family, where he talks about, and we show a clip from that, and he's talking about how his lawyer is talking about how he got involved, how he was himself desensitized a little bit at a time into becoming a serial killer. And it began with the materials that he was reading. And he was just reading some of these detective magazines, not necessarily anything that we would think was all that harmful, but it slowly but surely desensitized him, one step at a time, and he went, from the first level to the second and so on.
Well, he was in a lot of pornography, though, wasn't he?
Certainly.
That whole emphasis or the thrust of that interview, he was talking about he became increasingly centered on pornography and then the violence
right.
that goes along with this and the mistreatment of women and all of these things.
Right, but I mean that was where he ended up in deep into porn, and then he went from there into actually acting out his fantasies and so on. But I found it very interesting, and the clip that we show is where he's just talking about, or his lawyer is talking about, just the materials he was reading, because we're trying to relate that, of course, to some extent, to the Harry Potter books, that it can begin that way. And again, we're not trying to say that, everybody who starts reading certain materials is going to turn into Ted Bundy. But it was very interesting, Bundy's warning, because he talks about a lot of the materials that are out there, and not just pornography. I mean, there's stuff that has pornographic, if you will, content that is not necessarily called pornography in our society. A lot of videos, that are out there, music videos, and a lot of TV shows, and they seem to be coming out with more and more, sexual and degrading, like this Desperate Housewives show that they've got that's apparently a runaway hit. And people are just becoming more and more desensitized in our culture. And these ideas and so on are being normalized. Well, the point that Pastor Joe makes in the Harry Potter video is that sorcery throughout the Bible is equated to sexual sin. It's mentioned right alongside sexual sin and declared an abomination by God. I believe the reason for that is because just as a man and a woman, in a marriage, in a perfect relationship, that's a picture of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. Okay? So fornication and adultery and so on that is practiced, for example, in the world, is a violation of God's perfect plan that He has for men and women. Well, so it is when a person, a man who's been created by God for the purpose of having that relationship with God, shuns God and decides to go off and take on some other foreign spirit rather than God's Holy Spirit, some demonic spirit. God refers to this as harlotry or whoredom or, you know, spiritual unfaithfulness to God. And that's what witchcraft is all about. It's rather than seeking to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit to live a holy and a godly life, people are out seeking the empowerment of Satan and his demons to empower them, to give them all those things, those desires that they have in their heart that they're trying to carry out. And this is harlotry against the Lord. And God calls it repeatedly an abomination in the Old Testament and in the New. And it's clearly condemned. So it's very puzzling how anybody in any church anywhere could endorse these books or books that are normalizing these ideas or conditioning our children or desensitizing them to these things.
All right, well, we've got a caller who called in. They didn't want to come on the air, but they asked, wouldn't our kids be better off knowing what's in these books if the other students and friends are reading the books? And so how would you reply to that?
Wouldn't our kids be better off?
Well, knowing or reading the books themselves, after all, everybody's reading them. So shouldn't they be reading them too, because everybody else is reading them and talking about them?
Well, the Bible talks about how we're supposed to live holy lives, and the word holy means separate. The only way we could, you know, compel the world, if you will, I mean, it's one thing if somebody's going to do research for the purpose of witnessing to other people about the books. That I wouldn't find, you know, objectionable. But in terms of holiness, you know, Paul talks at one point when he's writing about those who are eating meat sacrificed to idols. He says, if you go to a feast and you sit down and somebody puts a plate of food in front of you, go ahead and receive it, you know, and don't ask any questions. But if they put the plate of food in front of you and they say, hey, this was sacrificed to idols, then he says, you know, to refuse it for the sake of him that offered it. In other words, you want to let that person know, hey, I'm a Christian and I don't partake of things like that. Well, why? Well, because, you know, that's contrary to the God of the Bible. That's contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he requires that I be holy from those things. If Christians would take a stand against these books and say, you know what, I'm not going to read those books. Why? Because I believe in Jesus Christ, and he condemns sorcery and witchcraft and the occult.
Well,
I think that would set a much better beacon of light for the people of the world.
And I think that the point that Joe Schimmel makes in the films, that is, look, well, other kids are reading pornography. Should we have our kids read pornography because other kids are reading pornography? I mean, what's the difference between whether they're reading about sorcery and getting involved in that and filling their minds with that, or filling their minds with pornography, as Ted Bundy did? The next question that comes along was, well, but shouldn't the Christian teaching and the Christian knowledge that we've given our children be able to allow them to withstand the evil of reading these books? After all, we've brought them up in the way of the Lord. How can we possibly be harmed, you know, just simply reading about witchcraft?
Well, I mean, I think this is where I just agree with what you just said and with what Pastor Joe says in the video. I mean, you wouldn't hand your child a book on pornography and say, well, we raise them up with Christian values so they can withstand this pornographic material and allow them to be exposed to it. That doesn't make any sense. So why would it make sense to expose them to witchcraft and sorcery and so on? Especially when it's being done in such a way that in the books it's normalized, it's, you know, it's acceptable, it's glorified. Actually, if you're not into witchcraft in the Harry Potter books, you're condemned. I mean, you're looked down upon, you're called a muggle, and you're made fun of, and so on, generally speaking. Although there are some muggles that are acceptable, but so that's what I would say to that, Doug.
Oh, no, remember, I'm just playing the devil's advocate.
Right.
I don't believe this. I believe these things are terrible things, because our battle is all taking place in our minds. And, you know, if we aren't filled with good thoughts and righteous thoughts and pure thoughts, why, we're going to be consumed by the evil, because man's very nature is evil. We are all sinners, and the only thing that saves us is God, and he gives us the strength to resist. But when we give in to the dark side, why we lose the battle. Let's go to Roger calling again. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. I think that reading books like this, if you are reading them for anything other than research, and sometimes I do read some of this for, purely for research, but I understand what the battle is, and hopefully I will not succumb to it, but I don't recommend that anybody else do that. Roger, do you have another question for our guest?
Yes, if you please. My question ties in the desensitization to the occult and Freemasonry with last hour's mention of the Von Trapp of the Sound of Music fame, family, and more than that, of course. And that is, do either of you recall, if not merely being against Hitler, if they were an expressly and articulately Christian family back then?
You're talking about the Von Trapp family and the Sound of Music?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, I think that certainly the part that Julie Andrews played was, of course, she was coming from a convent. She was a nun, and she was giving this up. So certainly she was a strongly Christian. As far as the Von Trapp, there was nothing there to suggest that he himself was a Christian. But, there was a wonderful, wonderful story. And I think, of course, the part that was betrayed of the nun, you've got to do what you want to do, what you feel called to do, what you feel that God wants you to do. And if God doesn't want you to be a nun, then you may very well be better off marrying this man and leaving the nunnery. But God doesn't necessarily insist that you be a nun, but, of course, that you be faithful. That was the message that I got from it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful movie. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Well, I don't know anything about the real-life Von Trapp family, although a few bits and pieces here. But growing up, my family, we grew up with The Sound of Music. It was the first videotape that my dad ever bought when VCRs first came out, and my sister watched it probably 500 times, so I know every song to backwards and forwards. So I don't know if I'm going to be any help on this question, because I thought it was a beautiful story too.
Well,
yeah, I just thought it might have been counter Christocentric in that.
No, I don't really think it was. But
no. Especially that they took on an engagement this past winter at the local Masonic Scottish Rite Cathedral, and I just wondered if Grandpa would be rolling in his grave about now. God bless you all.
Okay, thanks very much, Roger. Well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Chris Pinto, and we're talking about, well, his videos, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. Excellent, but certainly we're also talking about his latest production of going into this this occult agenda, and of course his first film in the occult agenda is Harry Potter, and certainly this deals with this spiritual conspiracy. I think there's no question at all that the end result of this really is being directed from the dark side, whether the writer realizes this at all or not. But you do not get this sort of play from the controlled media and from Hollywood unless there is, I believe, a satanic force behind you. If you were going to put out a film that was glorifying Christianity, you would get tremendous criticism. You'd be attacked by the media, as, of course, the recent film on the crucifixion of Christ was. The only reason, of course, this was had the coverage it did was because they actually were able to get this and buy time in private movie theaters. Everything was done to stop the distribution of this film. But of course, it gained tremendous notoriety, and to Mel Gibson's credit, why it was a success. But of course, Rowling's, of course, didn't have to do anything on her own. There was a force behind this book, behind its distribution, behind its publicity, and we have to ask, what is that force?
Can I say one more thing, Dr. Stan?
Go right ahead.
I wanted to mention on the show one of the elements that we bring in, and this is where, to me, it becomes really clear what's going on. One of the things that we talk about in Megiddo 1 and 2, and Pastor Joe talks about it just from the musical perspective and how the world is being impacted with this ecumenical interfaith movement that's designed to unify all the world religions, and that's really what we talk about in Megiddo Part 2, how all of the religions of the world, whether it's so-called Christianity with Buddhism and Hinduism and all the other, whether it's voodoo priests and so on, are all being embraced. But right alongside the embracement of all the world religions is the embracement of Wicca, witchcraft. In fact, here in California, Chapman University, that used to be a Christian university, and I say used to be because now they've built their All Saints or All Faith Chapel there, which they built a number of years ago, and it embraces and allows Wicca worship. Okay, and there's a number of colleges and universities throughout the country that are beginning to embrace this, and we show in the Harry Potter video how Wicca is being embraced by the interfaith movement, and we give an example of a Wiccan high priest who's performing a spell, an invocation, right alongside an Episcopalian bishop, a man who should be a servant, or at least professes to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there he's partaking in a witchcraft ritual with really what we would understand as a satanic high priest.
Well, I know, it's so interesting. The Archbishop of Canterbury just happens to also be a druid. Well, how can you be a druid and the Archbishop of Canterbury? Very easy. In a world that's gone mad, where we've broken down, you know, the relationship between Christianity and the occult, why shouldn't the Archbishop of Canterbury be a druid? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here for the last part of our program this evening. Our guest has been Chris Pinto. And, Chris, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up. First of all, do you have a website at all or anything you'd like to get out for our listeners?
Well, we have our web address is www.adullam, think of the cave Adullam that David fled to when he was slaying King Saul. Adullam Films, F-I-L-M-S, .org. And you can check out, you know, our website if you like. It's still under a lot of development, but it's worth looking at, I guess. And we hope that you'll get copies of Harry Potter and Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2 from one of our favorite radio hosts, and perhaps our favorite all-around radio host, Dr. Stan. And watch him in Megiddo Part 2. He very modestly mentioned his role in Megiddo 2. He's really, really fantastic and does an excellent job talking about Madame Blavatsky and the Georgia Guidestones, a mysterious monument that we actually went and got some footage of, and you get to see that in Megiddo 2.
And isn't it amazing? Most Americans have heard of the English Stonehenge. I mean, we've seen pictures of it, but nobody ever talks about the American Stonehenge there in Alberta, Georgia, or the mysterious message that's there. I mean, here, that nobody knows who the man was who put up the money. He said he came from a secret group, and nobody knows what the secret group is. I mean, it's got all sorts of mystery about it. Why don't we ever talk about that in Hollywood? Well, very, very simply, because this is a satanic monument, and they have satanic services there, and, of course, the UFOs have been seen hovering over this, and of course, this was blessed by the witch and the naked ceremonies and all sorts of occult ceremonies right there at Elberton, Georgia. The Ten Commandments that come from the dark side, which in my estimation really are very closely related to the Earth Charter, written put together by three prominent occultists, Mikhail Gorbachev, Marie Strong, and of course Stephen Rockefeller. In my opinion, these people and their message comes from the dark side, and it all has to do about with this new world order and this new world spiritualism. Chris Pinto, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless you, sir.
God, good night, and God bless you, too. And we'll be having a gun on one of our other programs in the very, very near future. Our guest has been Chris Pinto. He comes from Adullam Films, and his videos, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and, of course, the new occult agenda, and, of course, the first film being on Harry Potter. You want to get, you want to watch, you want to get other people to watch it. Very professionally done, but more important, a powerful message for times like these. Good night. God bless you, Chris.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, of course, we want to mention that we, if you'd like to know more about the films we were talking about, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, or the Occult Agenda series, and, of course, the first one is on Harry Potter, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We think it's so important that you have this information. These are wonderful teaching things that you can actually teach from them, as some people actually use. Megiddo 1 as a study in prophecy, because it goes into the biblical prophecies. And Chris spent a year or even more just learning how to do the caricatures, how to do the make the films, how to use the characters, and of course he does a tremendous job. I'm very, very impressed. He's been in filmmaking in the past. He gave up a very lucrative job to do God's work, and working on his own, and now working with Joe Schimmel. They've done a great job. Of course, if you have not yet seen Joe Schimmel's video, it's entitled They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to, if you want to understand Michael Jackson and what the Michael Jackson trial is all about, if you want to understand the significance of Michael Jackson walking backward and the Hall of Mirrors, you need to get this video. I mean, it will give you a whole different slant on so much of what's going on in the world today. That's They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. And I've had so many people call. In fact, we did an open line program in Colorado the other morning. Our guest didn't show up. I guess it was Monday, but because it was just yesterday morning. Time goes so fast. But it was interesting that several people called in and seen that film and just spontaneously said how impressed they were with the information, how much it had helped them to understand what is really going on today. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of mankind. We're losing that battle because nobody's telling the Christians of this country what the battle's all about. We're getting them into the church growth movement and the purpose-driven church, and we're changing the message, oh, so subtly, of the church. And we're changing the music, not so subtly at all. We're bringing the devil's music into the church. And if you don't understand the impact of rock music on the mind and what it does and what it opens you up for, you can't understand anything that's going on today. If you haven't yet, of course, seen the material we have, Diaprax, which is the story of the church growth movement on DVD, or the 4 tape sets we have on the church growth movement, the book, Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church?, or Deceived on Purpose, Warren Smith's wonderful book, or we have so much material that will help you to better understand what's happening to Christendom today, and why, of course, we're becoming increasingly the Church of Laodicea, neither hot nor cold. And unless there is a great revival in this country, unless we return to the teaching of our forefathers, both as far as our country and as far as our religion is concerned, why, America as we've known it will cease to exist. So we have a vested interest in being involved in educating others, which is why I spend 5 hours every day on radio, and it's 5 hours every day on satellite and on the internet, and 4 hours a day on shortwave. If you would like to become part of our team, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 585-44-8927. And of course, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, I suggest either our November newsletter, which gives you the true story of how they're poisoning our children with water fluoridation. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know what they're doing. Or if you'd like to get our January newsletter about American imperialism, how it's done, how this has worked, how we create wars and revolutions to control governments, and, of course, what our officers, military officers, have said about the real purpose behind war, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the January newsletter, then pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.